About a year ago, at this time, during the Advent season where I had a great opportunity, I was making a new friend. She was a friend who had students who danced, or who had kids who danced at the same dance studio as my daughters, and we had started to be friends by talking in the parking lot or in the lobby or at competitions, but we were going to get to know each other a little better, so we had a plan to meet at Caribou Coffee in Chaska. And I was so excited to get to know this person, so I got to Caribou early and I got my delicious dark chocolate hot cocoa, and I set it in front of me and on the table, and then suddenly she walked in the door and she came over to the table and she said, "Here, this is for you." And then she went to get her hot tea. And right away I thought, "Oh my goodness, this is awesome. It's a present for me." I love a present. I'm not even going to be shy about that. I love getting gifts. It's my love language, if you know the five. But I looked at the gift and I thought, "Oh, it's great. It looks like it's from Bachman's." And I was so excited until I wasn't, because I suddenly thought to myself, "Oh no, I didn't know we were doing this. I did not bring a gift for Brandy." So I started digging through my purse to see if I could come up with something, and I decided that a half a box of Tic Tacs and a $5 bill wasn't enough. So when she came back, I undid the pretty purple bow, and I reached on in, and there was a little Santa Noel. I know. She brought me this gift, and I said, "Thank you so much for it." And I was so grateful, and it had found a place to sit in my home. And then we continued our conversation, but there I was still sitting with this idea. Why didn't I get a gift for her? Why didn't I do that? And now what will she think of me? And is there something I could give her in return? Kind of what we do sometimes, isn't it? We kind of think that perhaps we owe somebody something if they give us something. Does that resonate with you? If you're a kid, you're like, "No, it does not resonate with me." You can go ahead and give me gifts, and I won't worry at all about giving you gifts, but grown-ups, we do it. And I'll tell you one thing, it's evidenced in this. When we have parties for our children and people are bringing them gifts, somehow we develop this thing we're supposed to give gifts back. The same things, Jess Hoffman's laughing, the same things we find at Party City and fill in little bags that nobody really needs. We want to give something back. So have you ever, you can just answer this in your head, have you ever received a gift that was unexpected? You didn't know that a gift was coming. Or maybe a gift that was way more extravagant or expensive than the gift that you gave. Or maybe you've received a gift from a stranger. Someone that you didn't even know gave you some kind of gift. Or maybe you had the sense that the gift that you had that you were given came with a claim on it, even if the person who gave it to you never intended that. So shortly after the great gnome gift experience, I was reading in an Advent devotional, and I came across this entry by William Willimon, who is a Christian thinker and theologian and writer. And he begins by talking about just that kind of experience when we receive a gift that we didn't expect. And he says, our response is to try to come up with a gift to give in return. He says that we prefer to think of ourselves as givers. Powerful, competent, self-sufficient, and capable people whose goodness motivates us to employ some of our power and competence and gifts to benefit others, or to benefit someone who is less fortunate. And we are part of this culture of gift exchange, and we find, I think for the most part, it's more comfortable to give gifts. That way, if there's something to be owed in return, we're not the ones who are indebted to another. Plus, Jesus said it's more blessed to give and receive. So it becomes easier and more comfortable. It makes us feel more powerful to be givers than receivers. Because if you receive something, it means probably that you needed something from someone else. Or to be surprised by a gift that you didn't expect or deserve feels like someone saw something that you didn't see. Or it's uncomfortable to be overwhelmed by someone else's generosity. And that's exactly what it feels like to receive a gift from God. When it comes to our relationship with God, we are on the receiving end. We come time and time again before God with our empty hands, and we receive God's loving generosity. And the Christmas story isn't just about that. It's about God's gift to the world that comes in the incarnate Jesus. God's gift to us is a gift that was given before anyone thought to put it on a wish list, before anyone thought to put it on their registry or write a letter to Santa about it. The gift that God gives to us is surprising and unexpected. It's a gift that we didn't know that we needed. It's a gift that we know that we didn't deserve. And a gift that comes in a surprising package. An infant born in strange circumstances. And it's a gift that keeps giving on into eternity. And this gift is free. It requires no gift in exchange. For grown-ups, this is difficult. We hear about this gift from God that's offered without strings, and we start making up our own requirements for receiving it. This is one of those times, though, when we need to learn from children. Like I said before, kids love to receive gifts, and they don't think they owe something to the giver. If you're a grandma and you give your five-year-old a new Squishmallow or some Pokemon cards, you don't expect anything in return. You just want to see them delight in playing with their new thing. If you're a kid, you don't think about whether or not you deserve the gift or whether you owe something for it or you earned it. You receive it and you delight in it. It's why Jesus says to us we ought to have faith like a child so that we might receive all that God has for us and delight in it. The nature of the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of life and salvation and hope, is that it's a gift that we didn't earn, that we didn't deserve, and we can never outgift it back. The strands read for us from Ephesians 2, where it says it's by grace that you and I were saved through faith and not anything that we did ourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works that we did so that no one can boast, and God gives this gift. The gift of grace in Jesus Christ, which means freedom from sin, release from shame, abundant life, eternity in God's presence, and there's nothing required in return. God gives gifts freely to every human being. And the part that you play, the part that I play, is not giving back, it's merely receiving. It means opening your hands or opening your heart to accept something. Will change your life forever to receive what God has and all the goodness that is intended. But you don't have to take it. God will not force this gift on you. You choose to open it, accept it, and decide what to do with it after. So let me show you what I mean. I have a gift here for someone, and I think I want to pick on a confirmation student who is a boy whose name rhymes with smarter. Are you brave enough, Carter? Come on. Yeah, Carter. Yeah, we'll clap for Carter. Carter, I have a gift for you. Did you bring something for me? Nope. Okay, I didn't expect you to. Do you want the gift? Okay, will you please open it right here? $20! That's an awesome gift. You want to know what I want? I think you should do with it. I think you should enjoy it. And I'm not going to tell you how to use it unless you ask me, and then I might have some ideas. But until then, this is your free gift, and you can take it and go sit back with your family. Excellent receiving, Carter. This is how God gives us gifts. God says, "I have something for you." And it's my love and my grace that comes through Jesus. And then God says, "Did you bring something for me?" Ha ha ha. Of course not. Because you didn't know this was coming. You didn't know it could be this good, and there's nothing you have to do to get this gift. But God says, "Do you want it? And will you open it?" It's your choice to receive this gift. And then God says, "You know what I want you to do with this gift that I have for you? I want you to enjoy it. I want you to live into it. I want you to delight in what I have for you, and I won't tell you what to do with it unless you ask me. And if you want to know, I'm giving you the instruction manual too." That's really what the Bible is. It's the manual on how to comes through Jesus Christ. But even if you don't open it, even if you don't read the instruction manual, even if you don't access it, it's there waiting. Always for you to turn and to open it up. If we see ourselves only as givers, we run the risk of missing the gift that has been given to us. New life in Jesus Christ. If in our hands they're full of things that we think we need to bring to God, if in our hearts we think we have to get ourselves right or bring the right things or spend enough or pray enough or do enough in exchange for what God has to give, then we're going to miss out on what God wants to give to us. And if we walk around feeling indebted and obligated to reciprocate God's generosity, then we haven't received a gift. We've just taken on an obligation. The wonder of the gift that God gives in Jesus Christ is that it doesn't require anything except to receive it. Is this a gift that you have opened? And if not, will you open your heart and your hands and say yes to God? Would you join me in prayer? We thank you, Lord, for this wondrous gift that has been given, that you saw us. You saw humanity stumbling and bumbling in sin. You saw the way that we had put something between us and you. And Jesus, you said, I'll clear the way. I'll make it possible. Taking all your power and put it into a little tiny package, Lord Jesus, you came. And you lived and you died and you lived again, offering us the gift of joining you in all of those things. So tonight, Lord, in our hearts we say yes, maybe for the first time or maybe for the 50th time. But Lord, make us people who receive this gift and to live into it and who are bursting with joy to go tell others what it is that we have received and who you are. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
As we close our time in worship tonight, we will be singing Silent Night together. You should have all received a candle that looks like this, and if you didn't, there should be more in the back. A few tips for the lighting process. As we pass the light to one another, make sure that you tip the unlit candle into the flame to minimize any spilling of hot wax. And just be aware of the space around you in terms of people's hair or clothes in front of you. We don't want any distractions from the beauty of this moment together. And we'll have a few people coming down each aisle to start the spread of the light from the Christ candle. So we invite you to stand as we sing, and our candle lighters can come forward.
light of the world, hold your candles high. And just see how little light it takes to illuminate the darkness. So go out into this evening. Go out with your hands open wide to receive whatever God has for you. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.